I walk around the house butt naked, and I stop at every mirror just to stare at my motherfucking mullet. I can't leave the house without a hat, cause as soon as the bitches see it, I know they're gonna wanna try to pull it. Hey. I turn heads like an awkward fart, I'll break you in half like a chocolate bar. I'm way too good, but I'm not on Billboard, so in more than one way, I'm off the charts. I fucked your wife, and it was not that hard. I treated the bitch like a shopping cart. I picked her out a line, then I put a load in her, then I left her on the curb where my car was parked.
I don't know how else to say it.
Hello.
Yeah.
There he is.
Hey, what's up, man?
See, this is awkward. This was like going to a party, and the dude's like, hey, come to my party. It's only going to be three people. You show up to the house is unlocked, and the dude whose house it isn't there, but the mutual friend, so the mutual friend isn't there, and it's just me and the dude, and it's just like, well, we don't know how we interact yet. There's no mediary. There's no intermediary.
Did you get kidnapped again?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Okay, also, so is everybody here now?
We got a message. Let's just play that. This is chaos already. It's Mark, everybody.
Just a little sexy blind date for you, Paul, with methamphetamine. Meth head man, whatever.
Method man.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey. That's pretty cool. What's your real name?
My name's Dylan. Dylan Wilson.
Dylan?
Got two Dylans in here now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Your name's Dylan, but you go by your dad's fucking name for some fucking reason.
Yeah, because I'm not having to put money on my dad's books. He died.
Yeah, God. Well, put money in your dad's books, heaven or hell, whichever. I don't know. He's probably an asshole.
I throw money at the preacher every time I go there. Just handfuls of quarters. So,
like once a year? At Christmas?
Christmas, yeah. Thanksgiving. No, not Thanksgiving, but Easter too sometimes. Every other Easter.
You know, there's a certain amount of control that you have over your father when you ditch the name that your father gave you and instead go by his name.
Yeah, that's a fucking huge power move.
It's a power move. He's like, you're not Dylan, you're not Keith, I'm Keith.
So I'm Dylan's the man. Dylan will be a Dylan thanks to you, you motherfucker. So that's an interesting avatar down there. What inspired that other than methamphetamine?
Well, they don't have my fucking hair, Keith.
They don't
have my fucking hair. So I just went to the very bottom and chose that one.
We are white dudes. We all look the same.
Did you see
that picture I made?
Yeah, oh yeah, the three stages of alcoholism, that was pretty goddamn funny.
See, you give me a second, I'm funny. You give me 2 hours and I'll freak the fuck out and I'll make an ass of myself.
I completely forgot we were doing this today. Message me, so I'm glad you did that.
Well, yeah, we're glad to have you. Keith, you're responsible for the intro. This is yet another guest who I'm not entirely familiar with other than from TikTok. In our audience right now, we got Mark Giob, we got Daryl Williams, we got Adam Smith. If you guys come up with any questions for these two, for all of us, for just Dylan, a.k.a. Matthew McConaughey, make sure you submit them. Make them as insane as possible. I'll do the intro real quick. Welcome to Cross Examination, the very serious interview show where we ask the most wayward stereo travelers the most important questions on the internet. We record this podcast live on the Stereo app, but we'd also like to thank our listeners on Spotify and iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure you leave a review so we can continue pouring this sexy liquid ear cacophony into your lobes once a week. With that, I am Paul Obert.
And I'm Keith Burr. And I am often late to things that I schedule way beforehand. And doing that, you know, I make everything really inconvenient for myself and everyone around me. But it's just one of my, you know, it's one of my little quirks that everybody loves. And they're like, oh, Keith, he's inconvenience walking.
Thank you for making everything so fucking hard. I appreciate that shit.
Hell yeah. Sometimes you got a nap, dude.
Yeah, but see, the thing about, like, whenever, like, I set a schedule down and I do anything that's out of that schedule, it fucking messes with me so bad.
Exactly.
I'll burn everything down around me to get out.
I recently bought a planner and shit because I've been so fucking busy with scheduling tour dates and stuff. And I never realized that when you go shop for a planner, only women fucking buy planners. It's only girly shit. Like, there's only girly planners. It's fucking weird.
I just owned it, dude. I got a planner that all my notebooks are girly because clearly only like women's journal or diary too. I got one that's a turquoise and gold with a lion on it.
Walking around with
like a scary lion. It's like a rawr lion.
Dude, I got a whiteboard that's still got the same shit that I wrote on it like a month ago, and it makes me sad when I look at it. And then that sadness like makes me just like revert into alcohol, and then I get drunk and I look at it and I'm like, I'm gonna get shit done, and I'll write new shit on it.
And there's something depressing about having to like scrub the dry ink off of a whiteboard when it sits for too long too. It's like, you know, that you fucked up when you're sitting here having to scrape it off the whiteboard. You know.
That is such a brilliant. That's a brilliant observation.
It's like clear graffiti off of the town square, and you're there for community service because you cut off the drunk tank three times in a row.
Yeah, it's like shame. By the way, speaking of drunk tank, I had to get my DUI identification today at the fucking DMV, and it says DUI offender on it. So anytime I go show my ID to get anything, like cigarettes or alcohol or anything, it just says, hey, this guy fucked up. It's pretty fucked
that's
up.
The thing.
They've changed the rules.
So they're trying to sexual predator you for a DUI?
Yeah. I was like, what's next? I'm going to have to put a fucking sign in my yard?
Yeah, to register.
Yeah. Sucks, man.
That's so stupid. You don't need to be identified for every crime you commit. Like at what point does it end then? Are we going to be getting parking tickets? I'm going to have to go get a new ID that says this guy sucks at parking.
Yeah,
our county attorney almost has more DUIs than me.
Thanks, babe. My fiance just said I'm pretty good at parking. It means a lot to me that he said that.
You know, I mean, I feel like it should mean a lot to you. Like, driving is 90% of an adult's life, I think, you know, but making sure that you get there alive is basically it.
I mean, I completely totaled a Mustang. So, I mean, maybe if anyone deserves to have it on their license, it's fucking me.
If you haven't passed out in the drive-thru at McDonald's, did you really live ever?
Right.
If anything, they should have it on your ID that you can, like, whisper to coyotes. I want to know that on somebody's ID way more than if they got a DUI. You having a DUI just proves that you do stand-up comedy.
With enough peyote, you can whisper to any fucking thing.
Right. See, cougars, coyotes, all wildlife. You know, human traffickers are not.
Just put your hand out and a fucking owl just come land on it.
How many licks does it take to get to the center of a bad DMT trip?
how many what?
I don't know. Your owl's talking to you.
Alabama. Right.
How many licks does it get to the center of a DUI? How many licks does it take to get to the center of a... You throw this out, Judge.
Oh,
dude, Tennessee is not about that shit, especially me. They fucking know me there. They fucking my.
So you came and you had a little bit of a reputation before. It's like me.
Yeah. A little bit of a reputation. Is that what you call being a fucking felon? Yeah.
Oh, I mean, well, mental gymnastics. Yeah, I'll do some brain backflips into saying that you had a reputation. So it makes me feel better.
Yeah, I got such a reputation after pissing a cup once a month. It's fucking rad.
You know what?
I mean, there's no difference between that and working at Target.
True.
Damn. True. You're right.
I don't even own any fucking khakis just for that purpose, in case I actually think about getting a job at Target.
You know, you can really get a face tattoo and make sure that you never get another normal job.
Yeah.
Actually, I hear that if you get a face tattoo, you don't even need DUI on your ID anymore.
Or children or anyone to love you either. So that's a big wave of relief.
But you do get sponsored by Bud Light.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, but before we go any further, so let people know who this guy is.
I feel like he's speaking for himself right now. This is Matthew motherfucking McConaughey down here, and he's just a wayward traveler that I met on TikTok. He's got over 250,000 followers, and it's all, I feel like every one of them is goddamn deserved, because this man is now having to register to get alcohol now. With a DUI license.
Thank you. I appreciate that shit. It's been a long, hard road. Not really. It's just kind of weird.
I mean, it's so weird. Like, the idea of probation of like with somebody that has a DUI, you're supposed to go and register. You're supposed to go get a job and take yourself back and forth to that
what
job.
What I don't understand, this is what I don't understand about probation. Okay, so like they tell you you can't leave the state and stuff. So imagine like someone's just in your house fucking some shit up. I mean, just fucking shit up, destroying all kinds of shit, and then you put them in a special club where they can't leave your house ever. That's probation.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Well, being on probation during quarantine can't be the worst.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going any fucking.
Yeah, it's just an added excuse to get Instacart.
Right.
Actually,
well, I am going on tour, so.
I'm gonna try and get on probation. I didn't mind it towards the end there.
So you have an excuse? Oh. Yeah, that's a good one.
It's amazing to me that you haven't done any sort of like program or anything. How you just slipped under the radar for so long.
What's the easiest way to get on probation? That'll be the first question then. There, for those of us trying to get on probation because we miss quarantine, what is the easiest way to get on probation? That'll be the first.
If you're on medication for any kind of mental disorder, stop taking that shit. Stop taking it. You just have no advantage.
Hey, you know what? I found out that you could completely stop taking your antidepressants cold turkey if you replace them with Oxy-30s. But I mean, you're going to run out of 30s after a little while and feel really weird, and it might not be worth it. But that's, I mean, they can replace them for a small amount of time, just a little window.
I have fun on probation. So since I'm going on tour, I told my probation officer, and he's like, well, you just got to tell me where you're going. And he gave me his cell number and all that shit. So I've just been texting him randomly at like requesting his location, all kinds of shit. So, I'm gonna
be annoying.
I'm not going to fucking, you're going to get my piss, Joseph. You're going to earn my piss.
Just keep texting like 2 a.m. Just like, you up?
Yeah, that's what I do. I say, you up. I don't even spell out you. I just send a you.
How you do?
You! That's the most intimidating shit ever. If I'm a probation officer, 2 o'clock in the morning, I just get a text from one of the dudes I'm an officer over and just says, you. I'm not sleeping that night.
You've never had me as a probate. Listen, I got to take a drug test because I would stare at my PO as I let the thing overfill.
Oh man, that's a good. I'm gonna try that one. Fuck, you're good.
Eye contact. Yep. Listen, if they're gonna make me uncomfortable, we'll make them uncomfortable.
I'm gonna take it a step further and take a little sip.
I'm gonna take a step further and blow some bubbles.
Fuck milk bubbles, just piss bubbles, baby.
Nothing like it. They don't fly far, but they hit what you want.
Where you got?
So,
okay.
You know,
you guys both close in the same area, or?
Oh hell no!
Yeah, we're right next to each other.
Okay. I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I live in California. He lives in Kentucky.
Okay, I knew he was in Kentucky. I wasn't sure if you were in Kentucky. You don't sound like it, so.
Yeah, no, I don't sound like it either. And you also know how weird it is to be the sane one in this fucking podcast.
Yeah.
Usually, it's me and Keith ganging up on people. I feel like I'm the special guest today.
Yeah, I live on the top of a mountain in the middle of 550 acres. I'm definitely not sane at this fucking point.
Well, that's what land affords you, that luxury of being insane on your own time.
Yeah, just lose your shit. Go shoot some guns, blow some shit up, fucking ride some four-wheelers, almost die. Who cares?
I could go pop up a whole clip out my back door right now, and nobody would even think to call the police. But that's just Keith.
Dude, me too, and I'm not even allowed guns. And no one would even say shit.
Exactly, because they're not fucking rats.
Yeah. Well, they can't hear either.
Well, that helps. That helps a lot. I mean, my dad, like, gunshots aren't bad to me. I don't know about you. I'm really used to them. Like, so whenever I hear them, if they're close to me, I'm like, huh, well, all right.
I hear more gunshots living out in the country than I ever did in Nashville, and you would think it would be the vice versa, you know?
Like, well, you could hear a failed music career just pow!
Right, yeah, and they just fucking blow their goddamn brain out all across the hall. There's fucking $50 apartment.
Lots of people crashing and burning in LA. Not exactly that many.
Not everybody
people.
Can
well, you know what?
Not everybody can be from
LA.
Town.
If I lived in LA, there would be a lot more gunshots. I bet you. I mean, they got shit like Crenshaw. They got shit like Watts. Like, I mean, of course they got gunshots. I just live in Huntington Beach, which I didn't mean to move to. It's like the KKK of beach towns. Nobody told us.
That's Do those horrible. Towns divide up, or are they all like connected? Because I feel like it just looks like one giant strip mall from LA to fucking Oakland or
this
wherever.
One's got sand, this one doesn't, you know, pick your pick
right.
Yeah, so Huntington Beach is basically strip malls until you get to the actual beach.
What denotes the actual beach of Huntington? Is it a homeless to like regular person per capita thing, or?
I would say 1 to 50, 60.
That's not very.
Maybe 1 to 100. 1 out of 100 people is homeless downtown Huntington Beach.
Where's the craziest homeless people you guys have ever seen? Mine's Oklahoma.
Oh, I got one right away. Crazy. So I used to do fundraising for charities, and downtown Huntington, there's this guy who, you know, everybody kind of knows. He's always there. He always ends up in jail for the evening because they got to protect him from himself. He's got no family to take care of him, and he's not much. I think he might be younger than me, but he's schizophrenic, and this poor dude knows that he's schizophrenic. He's very like there. But when his other dangerous, violent persona takes over, it's very self-destructive. So I'm sitting there trying to convince people to donate to a children's charity. And next to me is a dude slamming his face against a brick wall. Just 1, 2, 3. And just saying, screaming, get out of my head. Slam, slam. And it's, you know, the cops got to be called. And they're just like, all right, dude, come on over. And we're going to put you in the cell for tonight. And he's just screaming angrily, thank you. Thank you.
I needed this. Help me.
Why would calling the cops anything, Brian? Why would you call everybody that made all D's in high school to solve a fucking schizophrenic break? That just doesn't make
sense. Right.
I mean, there's no public. If the guy lived on Skid Row in L.A., then there's actually this public service that got created by the local government there. Where they take in crazy people and give them free either rehab or free mental counseling or free longevity in a mental institute. But they don't have that in Huntington Beach. Huntington's more Republican than that. So right. They don't see the point. So
I understand. Yeah, just
poor dude slamming his head against a brick wall every other day.
Not taking my fucking taxes. Not that I paid.
That's the craziest dude I met. Anyways, that wasn't funny. I'm sorry.
Well, I saw the same homeless woman.
I mean, I think it's
two times in one day.
You saw what?
Like the same homeless woman's butthole two times in one day.
Just that's what I thought.
Completely different parts of town. I was in Cincinnati trying to find the ghetto to get my tattoo that I was going to hit like with this like just super white girl. Like we went on a tour to try to find the ghetto. We thought that was a brilliant idea, and. We found it. We found it like a motherfucker. We started going from nicer neighborhoods to like, we passed like 4 fried chicken places, and then the pawn shop started getting bars on the windows. And I was like, we're here. And I swear to God, the next street that we turned down, like, there was a black dude getting arrested on the back of a cop car. And I was like, I told you, we're here. And so that's where we decided to get our tattoos.
Man. Yeah, that's Cincinnati. Smells like pee.
Cincinnati. Paul and I have discussed Cincinnati like extensively. If Jerry Springer has ever been the mayor of your town, you can go fuck yourself. I mean,
yeah.
Why didn't they test the nukes on Cincinnati?
I mean, it's got sin in the name.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like it's a more overt Las Vegas. Instead of Sin City, it's just Cincinnati. Like this is where they come. Where all the miscreants go.
Yeah,
Dylan, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
I was like, starting September 3rd, I'll start my tour in Ohio from in Mansfield. And I've never even fucking heard of that place, so I hope I don't get murdered.
Mansfield isn't the worst spot.
Are you just an Ohio expert? Like, you are?
Yeah, you're in fucking L.A., dude.
I lived in Cincinnati for about 2.5 years.
Okay.
Doing some work, yeah.
Damn, I'm just sitting here shit talking Cincinnati. You could have told me. You could have led with that before I just started shit talking Cincinnati.
Oh, no, you should hear.
Seriously, Cincinnati has 2 sports teams, and they're lumped together. Their stadiums are like a mile apart tops. None, like a half a mile apart. Nobody goes to either one. And their biggest sports achievement is a dude who can't get in the Hall of Fame because he gambled it away.
Oh shit! What was his name? Pete Maravich? No,
Pete Rose.
Oh, okay. Oh, sports stuff. You know, people that put balls into a hole for a living, unless you're a porn star or a prostitute, you can go fuck yourself too.
Yeah, because I mean that's a very limited career, you know. Like your shit's gonna break down. I mean, there's no retirement plan.
You know? There shouldn't be a retirement plan if you get paid millions of dollars to play a children's game your entire life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I play music for a living. It's stupid. It's fucking stupid.
Exactly. Matthew's got a point. We use our brains for a living.
Yeah, I mean, we at least use our brains a little bit. I don't know. I mean, if you're a professional golfer, you got to think, is the ball going to go up? Is it going to go down a little bit? What if it turns right?
Right.
Golf is different. Socioeconomic golf issues. Different. Left.
Got to do it drunk.
Bro, sometimes the ball comes back to you because of a slope. That's intense shit.
If you're a professional golfer and the ball's coming back to you, you're not a fucking professional golfer.
Yeah, you're terrible. You should quit.
Yeah.
You're a professional mini golfer. You hit the brick wall.
Yeah, I usually just hit it as hard as I can on the last hole. I do it every time.
I start out strong every round, every game. Like, I start out strong, and then I get drunk, and I get, like, I start acting surprised that I'm playing worse. And I'm like, why can't I? This is bullshit. I'll throw a club every time by the, like, 12th hole if I'm playing 18.
Yeah, I do the same thing with pool.
Right. Okay. See, I'm good at pool too. You know,
I'm on. I get way too competitive over foosball and wiffle ball. Those are my two.
I'm not good at shit, sport wise, except for running. I can fucking run like a motherfucker, but anything else, no.
You're probably running from bears and shit. You got practice.
Is it? Yeah. I mean, truck drivers call bears, call cops bears. So, I mean, you got a point.
That's not what gay people call bears. Hey, we got some questions.
When did it change from
we got one from Mark Giob in the audience, if you guys recall. He was on episode 3, 4, 5, one of those.
My question is for Meth. We'll just call you Met. I know you came out of playing music, and you probably still play music. I didn't know if you had always done comedy as well, or are you new to comedy? Because I'm new to comedy.
He's came out of like music. He just like comedy. I don't think it's comedy. You're just telling your story, ain't it? And people think it's funny.
Well, I mean, a lot of it is just fabricated bullshit from shit I've heard from, you know, around and stuff like that. I mean, but comedy for me started when I was playing music and to fill the awkward space between songs or in tuning or whatever the fuck, like, you know, tell a joke, make somebody laugh and shit. And I just got really involved into it because I really wanted to just say some off wall shit. And I've been in use before because of it and shit.
That's interesting, actually. So you got into comedy because when you were on stage doing music, you would make people laugh, and
right.
You like and that. No. Well, do you like that as much as music? I mean, obviously not, right? Or is it becoming part of your life?
I like ranting. That's what I like to do. I like to fucking rant and bitch about shit all the time. That's all I do. That's what I do 24/7. I complain about shit. I'm seeing it or fucking making somebody laugh about it. I'm complaining about shit 7. I'm good at it.
A professional complainer. That's all a comedian is.
One of them about cats and the other one about people who choose to live in the desert. That I use. I use those in stand-up. Those are my big rant topics.
I was talking about that today. No shit about people who choose to live in the desert. Like people like talking about water shortages. Like, you just walk out of the desert. Don't live in the fucking desert then.
Move. Yeah.
Yeah, move.
Just fucking move. And if you're locked in a lease, well, you weren't forever.
Guess who signed it, motherfucker?
At one point, you're like, Las Vegas, this is for me. Who's walking through the desert and is like, there's no natural resources anywhere, no water, just dirt, and they're like, this is where I'm going to raise my family.
Well, that's where the Italian mafia comes into play.
Like, oh, is that a tuft of grass over there? Nope, it's a tarantula. Let's build a town.
We're gonna let Indians make casinos here and call it magic to steal back the white man's money.
There's no way people will only do drugs in this vicinity.
Like the drugs
it's weird. More desert of places, I feel like the worse drug addiction is because they just have to get fucked up enough to forget that they live in the fucking desert.
Yeah, there's at least if you're in the woods away from civilization, you could cut down some trees.
Yeah.
There's something to do. What do you do in the desert? Dig holes? I'm talking about early on, like where it makes sense to build a civilization.
I can't even look at a picture of Arizona without having to go get a glass of water.
I can't do it without having to drink myself into a stupor.
That's how little there is in the desert. They had no commerce whatsoever, and they're like, let's just convince people the rocks are magic.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Talk about prospectors and shit? Or are you talking about like crystal people?
I feel both. I got a friend that lives there, and I'll be surprised if she doesn't have a crystal dildo and thinks that doesn't have some kind of positive, like, influence on her life.
Want to try out a crystal dildo.
Well, I mean, it's just like a regular dildo, except you're moving on up a couple rungs of the social ladder.
It's like a regular dildo, except you really know if it's been washed or not.
It came from the best pyramid scheme, True Romance.
I dated a girl that had a shit ton of crystals, and I would find them in my pockets and put them in my pockets. And it was the weirdest thing. I was like, what is this rock you put in my pockets? Like, oh, that's citrine. It's supposed to help with male vitality. I was like, don't be putting fucking rocks in my clothes.
Is it, bitch, you trying to get you pregnant? What?
Yeah. Like, trying to plant rocks on me and shit. It's crazy. So
that's creepy. Because, like, I don't believe in witchcraft until somebody's doing it to me. You know, it's like, I'm going to walk around being like, I'm not afraid of this shit. But if somebody's sneaking rocks in my pants and being like, this is going to make your dick bigger, it's like, I'm actually intimidated.
You find like a little hot filter, but it's like tied up with your hair and teeth and shit.
I'm probably going to fill those rocks. She says it's to make my dick bigger. I'm just like, okay, you don't need these.
It's only for good things, I swear. Yeah, for now.
Why are there no videos of magic working, though? And there's still people that are Wiccan. I don't understand it. It's like they believe these things. It's like, then show me a video or a picture of something working. Show me.
Yeah, it's because people are stupid and they want to feel important.
I guess.
They're like, okay, well, if I can do, it's like religion. It's like, I got this magic shit that only works for me. Like, I got this guy that only I can hear in my head, but you can't. But if you give me enough money, I bet that he'll work for you too. But I'll tell you when he's working for you because only I can hear him. Same thing with Wicca, shit like that seems like to me. Yeah. It's like a little club everybody wants to be in that's full of bullshit and nonsensory. Nonsensory, that's a word.
I don't know,
sure.
Man. Like I said, I don't believe in it at all until I see somebody doing it. Then you get that weird sort of feeling. You know, here's the proof in my mind that, like, magic might exist. Is that feeling that you get on the back of your neck when you see somebody doing magic shit. It's like, wouldn't it just be like, if you're just staring there watching people do magic, shouldn't be affecting you at all. You should be laughing. It should be funny. Instead, you get creeped out. Why are we naturally creeped out by it? We should just think it's ridiculous.
It's unlike the dance too. Like, if you're like, you know, going to a magic show or something, that's one thing. But if you're like at an ATM and some guy starts coming up to you speaking Latin and throwing fucking rocks at you and shit, you're going to be a little weirded out.
Yeah, speaking parcel tongue in the ATM, it's not... You're not used to hearing that. It's also not your element.
That's not Latin. It's just slurred words. That dude's hammered. Some dude speaking in tongues fucking rocks at you.
Dude, I was in jail with a dude that would get drunk. I knew this dude before, and he would get so drunk, and then he would go in like these bars and try to like take over the mics and stuff. And he was kicked out of every single fucking bar in Nashville. Every bar. You know how many bars are in Nashville?
There's 20 something, isn't there? It's not even a big town.
Yeah, he's not allowed in any of them. And it was crazy seeing him there. But he believed in magic and shit. I would hear him like mumbling shit. Like, he's putting fucking spells in his bunk, mate, dude. I know he is.
Nashville is not the place for magic like LA is. I can see magic getting by in LA, like, because people are just like, yeah, sure. I'm too self involved to even pay attention to what you're doing.
What's Nashville? What's magic in Nashville is not wanting to kill yourself if you live there longer than 6 months. That's magic.
There's magic in both those places, just different types. You got magic shows in LA. In Nashville, you got Crossroads. You got selling your soul to the devil. In LA, you got people trying to get their arm bit off by a tiger.
Right.
Like, my town produces a disproportionately amount of famous people to regular meth heads per capita. So, I feel like it's like I'm a little from Paintsville, Kentucky, a little oasis here. Like, I don't know what's in the water, but it's like it's a couple generations deep at least, and it makes people be able to sing like Chris Stapleton. You can see just a hole singing, like a beard, like just a hole in a beard singing beautiful notes. I don't know where it came from. And there's Tyler, and then there's me. I'm the next best thing that this town has got to a famous person, and that's fucking sad.
That's a bold move.
It is a
bold move. So you're saying that church would sound amazing if people went?
Oh, yeah, except you got these, like, loud bitches that just try to be loud for, like, for the sake of being loud, that they're just the loudest people there. I don't know if they necessarily take into consideration people can hear them.
Oh, they know.
Right.
Well, hey, let's
Oh, thank you, babe.
I just
yeah, had dinner made for me
for my fiance, and I am so happy, and it smells good. There's mushrooms and shit in it. Get on it, baby.
That's fixins. I'm telling you, it's the fixins.
So let's get to what makes this podcast so special. I feel like that was a good introduction to the type of person Mr. Dylan Meth is. Let's start bombarding him. How about it, Keith?
All right, I gotta say, how does it feel like looking like Zippo came out with a commemorative person?
Hey, good one. Hey, you know what's really funny? I'm holding a Zippo in my hand right now. That's hilarious.
Thank you.
If you could use a time machine, would you rather have one that goes back in time only, or only goes forward in time?
Oh, shit, that's a hard question. I'd probably go back in time.
What?
I've made a lot of mistakes. Shit, dude. I've done some shit. I've done some shit.
So you'd have one that goes back in time because you got to correct the mistakes. What's the number one mistake that you would correct?
Oh, god damn. Let's see. Probably go back last June and not steal my girlfriend's car and crash a fucking Mustang on the side of the road. Probably that.
You heard Start it here first, everybody. He'd have a time machine that only goes backward in time to fix not stealing a car 6 months ago. Here we go, baby.
Yeah, and I would probably keep taking my medicine. That'd have been probably the first priority.
Yeah, man. Fuck yeah. Hitler. Just don't steal that car.
Yeah. Yeah. Lithium ain't for everybody. I said lithium ain't for everybody.
Yeah. No. Fuck lithium, man. Fucking doing the doors. I've seen some crazy shit. People like throwing shit against the wall and they'd come out and like hit them with that Thorazine real quick. And that shit does not work as like it does in the movies where they just go out. Now they go and.
You're breaking up a little bit, Dylan. What'd you say?
Oh, don't worry about it.
Oh, her Thorazine doesn't work like it does in the movies.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
It doesn't just put you out, especially if you're actually in the middle of a psychotic episode.
Yeah, it takes a little bit. You're going through like several stages of like stumbling around and yelling weird shit. And
that's all according to how strong you are in your mind.
Yeah.
I've wondered about this. So when you're taking those types of pills, immediately upon taking it, is there any sort of comfort that like, okay, some relief's coming? And so you sort of automatically calm down a little bit, or
see, I'm on an antipsychotic, so I have to take like basically it's the opposite of an SSRI, which is a serotonin reuptake inhibitor or whatever. So basically, those pills make you happy by releasing serotonin. My brain releases serotonin randomly, and I have overactive glands and shit, so I have to have things that regulate that and kind of like keep my brain from releasing serotonin and dopamine all at once and turn me into a fucking delusional psycho. So.
It's just delusions too much good.
Delusions of grandeur.
Yeah. No, not even delusions of grandeur. Delusions of, like, extreme paranoia and shit. Like, I don't know.
See, this is what I do. Like, so I feel torn a bit joking about it. But, you know, this is what fucking comedy is for. Just for us to laugh at the things that bother us.
You know what separates a delusion of grandeur between and not a delusion of grandeur is how much money is in your bank account at the end of the day, honestly.
You're goddamn right. You're goddamn, how pretty you are.
Do you think Kanye West is having delusions of grandeur? No, he's not. He just is everything that he says he is in his mind, you know, and his bank account reflects that, I reckon.
He is grander. Yeah. That's an adjective for him, not in a hyperbole.
All you beautiful people out there listening, thanks from both of us. Even though Paul's not here,
We're now on 7 different platforms thanks to Anchor. Well, I put us on those platforms. Paul just kind of shows up and poof, off in the puff of smoke. Sometimes it's colorful, sometimes it's not, but it's always infuriating and amazing at the same time. But I'm technologically illiterate. Anchor does this for me. All you have to do is record here, you can edit here, and distribute here, all for free. So if you want to put out a podcast, this is the way to do it. Like I said, if I can do it, you got this. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. That's anchor.fm. And this is Keith, and I'm Outro 5000.
Good point. Do you think it has helped you write music? We all have trauma. We all have shit.
I would say so, because it one thing that fucks with me having schizophrenia is like words and names get all fucked up in my head, jumbled around and stuff. So like, it really helps me. I have to pay like a really close attention to like syllables and consonants and stuff like that. I think it's like kind of like giving me a more intimate relationship with words in general, you know, because I have to pay more attention to them, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. I get that.
You're an excellent orator, if that makes sense. Like,
I appreciate that.
You sound like, you know, like I sound like you're from the country and shit, but the words that you say actually have like, you know, there's something behind them. It's like, it's always poignant.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, I like it. Well, Keith, just, your turn. Fire at him.
I still want to know what it's like looking like a commemorative Zippo person, but I guess I can skip off to the next one. Does Lincoln actually have you in like a crazy, like they got their neck around your throat, they got their arm around your throat to make you like be in those shitty commercials? Or do you think it's a good idea to go from like box office smashes to glorified like used car salesman?
Man, I'm just trying to pay the bills, brother.
Wait, Link in the car? Oh, you're talking about Matthew. I was so fucking confused.
My bad. I just went right in.
Yeah, I think I'm just trying to pay the bills, brother. That's it.
Yeah, just like Matthew McConaughey. Forgot he didn't pay taxes that year. He's like, what am I going
to
do?
I'm trying to be governor of Texas, man.
All right.
All right.
You know, car company comes to me. They say, you've been driving our cars. I'm like, no. And they're like, how about $1 million? I'm like, I've only bought you for 20 years.
I drive you every day. I love it. That's
horrible. I'll be in your commercials so long as I can take my shirt off, you know?
Have you seen that video he did for Instagram? And it was on TikTok for a little bit where he's like, don't half-ass it. Don't half-ass it. Have you seen that video? So I thought the whole time he was saying, don't have acid, don't have acid. And I was like, why the fuck is he telling me not to fucking do acid? This is really strange.
Look, I do LSD once a year. Like this.
Yeah,
at least. My schedule.
It's like, Matthew McConaughey, you're the last person that I want to hear tell me not to do acid. You have convinced me to do. If there's any acid I've done in my whole life, you are the reason I'm trying it.
Right.
I saw Fast Times. These are slow times, man, movie? So I'm trying to pass them.
Bro went from Fast Times to Fool's Gold to a fucking Oscar winner over Leonardo DiCaprio. Everybody's doing drugs because you exist.
And you tell me Wicked.
I was trying to be the governor of Texas, I heard. I'm serious. I wonder if he's alt-right.
He might.
I hope he's all middle. We got another message. It's from ass. I'm not promising anything with this.
Hello there.
Hi.
All right.
That didn't sound great. Enough for me to fuck with. Sorry.
That was great. Mr. Matthew McConaughey, Mr. Dillon, what is the thing that is not a sport and not your profession that you are the most competitive at?
Getting
fucked up.
Or that you're too competitive at?
I would say I try not to be the dumbest person in the room. Like if there's someone, like if I'm in competition where I feel like I'm going to be the dumbest in the room, I'll find somebody else that I know is dumber than me and exploit that. for sure. I'm not going to be the dumb.
Hell yeah.
Wait. That's awesome. So this could go two ways. On the one hand, you could go to the smartest guy in the room and, you know, try to, like, learn something, pick his brain and get smarter. And you're like, nah, fuck that guy. I'm going to go find the dumbest guy and shit all over his life with story circles. Yeah. Yes.
I'm going to paint him fucking red so everybody looks at him. I'm going to go out the back door. Exactly.
I'm going to go out here and smoke a cigarette.
You're thinning the herd. It's not the worst.
I'm just helping Darwinism, man. I'm just pushing it along. I'm just pressing fast forward.
And I'm a huge proponent for Darwinism. Also, I'm a huge proponent for taking warning labels off of shit like gas is flammable. If you need to know that gas is flammable, then you need to be caught on fire to learn that lesson.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I do for dip. I just put 9 out of 10 dentists approve this. I'd peel the things off of Colgate, put it on dip cans.
That's amazing. That's beautiful.
I mean, Paul is out here doing the Lord's work sometimes.
I've never met anyone who actually lost their jaw or lip or anything from dip, though. And I live in the South where everybody dips. There's tobacco farms out here and shit.
Yeah, they brought people to our school. Like, they brought this fucking train wreck of a person.
Like a circus? They brought the circus to your school?
Pretty much. Like, this dude was missing half of his face. And he's like, don't chew. And I was like, all right.
Well, that's pretty fucked up. Did they have the guy that's like, you don't always die from tobacco? I missed that fucking commercial. That was a bop, dude.
That was. I mean, I just to, like, desensitize myself, I used to, like, try to jerk to that commercial just to, like, make myself, like, keep thinking, like, yeah, you're a person. You're good.
Yeah.
I was like, if you can't do it to it, then, yeah.
To Walmart, I thought he was RoboCop. I was obsessed with RoboCop, and I thought this guy at Walmart was this old man that had one of those throat things. I thought he was RoboCop. I don't know why, but I carried that up until, like, I was 14. Mom had to sit down and explain that he wasn't RoboCop and quit calling him RoboCop every time I go to Walmart.
That's a good point you raised. That brings me into my next question. Like, being from where we are, like, sort of the same 500-mile stretch, probably, how many delusional thoughts about people did you have before, like, that did not hold up whatsoever?
Before I was Jesus, or?
Yeah, before you learned, like,
before I was diagnosed?
Exposed yourself. I shouldn't say exposed yourself.
I couldn't even put a number on it. I mean, it happens every day. I constantly remind myself that certain things aren't happening around, people aren't thinking things, and that.
Hey, we're gonna. Don't worry, we're gonna edit out that last part. You broke up for almost all that.
Okay, yeah. So, what was the last thing I said? I haven't really put a number on it. I have to constantly remind myself every day that, you know, things aren't happening around me, that people aren't thinking and shit like that, you know, like, and I'm not hearing certain voices and shit like that is a common thing for me, but it's not like in my head, it's like around the wall, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I mean, but, like, trying to piece this together for the audience after, what he's saying is that he's had to try to convince himself that sometimes the voices that he hears aren't necessarily all around him, and, you know, he's had to try to divert what he sees from reality and figure out what's actually really between that.
It's gotten a lot easier since I've gotten, but when I was, like, a teenager, it drove me pretty fucking crazy. I used pretty heavily, like, a lot of different substances, and because it was the only thing that would really quiet it out. I was a major alcoholic. I was probably drunk for, like, 11 years.
Yeah.
Did
actually,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Dude, that is right in line with, I mean, not to, like, try to relate everything to myself, but I have to make myself give a shit about it.
I appreciate that. That makes me feel not so fucking crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I was drunk for 5 years straight.
Yeah.
Like, just because I was trying to figure out, like, okay, everything's coming at me. Everything's bombarding me. This is fucking retarded. I hate this. I would try to get out of that just by escaping through either, like, opioids or fucking alcohol. And it's like everybody asks me, it's like, why would you take pain pills? Like, have you ever snorted a hug?
Like, dude, opiates are it interacts with me a lot different than a lot of people. They don't make me, like, tired or sleepy or any of that shit.
Oh, yeah, they wouldn't make me sleepy. They'd make me stay awake.
Yeah.
Like, not have this, like, manic energy.
Yeah, just scratching your fucking balls off.
Yeah, and it feels so good.
No, that's just eczema. I got, this is something that is interesting to me, is that I tend to think a little bit too deep about life sometimes. You know, the meaning, you know, what's going on here. As I've gotten older, I've come to grips with a lot more stuff, and I feel like that happens to everybody. And whoever just fucking laughed at me, it's true, okay? It's not this podcast all the time that you hear this shit on, all right? it's in other parts of my life. But how do you think that, you know, your struggles, I guess, with, you know, the mental illness.
Mind comp.
How has that formulated sort of your worldview on, like, the meaning of it all? That might be different or might be similar to other people in comparison. Well, like, what's unique about your worldview?
I've really had to learn that it doesn't matter what I think. Like, I've really had to just force myself to really not give a shit about anything or anyone at all, except for, you know, of course, like my girlfriend and my child. I really don't give a shit about anyone or anything else outside of that own career. I don't get this shit was easy. Yeah, I can do it again if something happens. I mean, because if I do think about it too much and do think that my view matters and I'm this unique fucking individual who's going to think things and do great, I put too much pressure on myself and I fucking self-sabotage it. So I just really
not.
Don't ever ask me that shit again. I'm just kidding.
No, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Dude, man, Dylan, I really identify with that so much, even so much that this podcast is a product of exactly that, self-sabotaging. Because I messaged Paul a little bit before because I inconveniently took a nap before. I was like, I'm so important that if I take a nap, this whole thing goes off of the rails if I don't plan on it.
Right. Yeah, I completely understand. Sleep is one thing that I wish that I wouldn't deprive myself. And I do it consistently all the time, and I can't. Like, I'm legit mad if I like, wake up for something early, I have to go to bed like a little fucking kid. I'm mad that I just...
Yeah, I have weaponized sleep.
Yeah.
It's a nuke. It's a nuke in the middle of the day. I wish I could sleep easily. I'm jealous of all the people that can just, like, you know, they lay their head down, just lights out. How are you so comfortable with the world?
I hate them.
That you got no regrets, you got nothing to think about when you shut your eyes at night. Like, it upsets me.
That's a clear conscious. Yeah.
You could wake up, the cops could be there, leave you. You never know.
Right? I mean, that's my girlfriend. She is an amazing, she's like what you hold up as an image of the perfect person. Like, the actual, like, that's derived from. And you know, when people say, like, I don't deserve her, like, oh, he's just saying that, like, whole, like, run that line. Like, no, this bitch is good. Like, she's probably listening right now. And, you know, Diane, I just got to say, I love you.
You think that's what Joseph said about Mary Magdalene? Or, I'm sorry, not Mary Magdalene. Mary, Mother, whatever. What the fuck is her last name?
Liar Mary.
Anyway, yeah, you think that's what Joseph said? Just like, this bitch is perfect.
Yeah, she's cheating on him like mad crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I fucked an angel. Hey.
Like, that was the first episode of the Maury Povich show. I don't care what anybody tells me.
That's a hell of a wet dream to wake up pregnant.
That's a hell of a mental gymnastic routine to go through for Joseph to be like, yeah, that's what happened.
I just can't believe
pregnant?
He was that.
What happened? You're pregnant? What happened? I manifested it. I have a vision board.
I sat on toilet seat. It happens all the time.
He must have been the dumbest fucking carpenter that ever existed. You believe that imagine, shit, really.
I think, man, Paul and I went through this. Can you imagine being the only carpenter that ever got nailed to a cross? Jesus, what an idiot.
Yeah. Oh, he's probably, got criticizing it the whole time. He was like, these fucking points already been flush.
Well, Paul's got 16,000 followers. Jesus only had 12 or 13. Who's better?
Dylan is with his 250,000 on TikTok.
Which, I mean, really is.
I hate talking about followers. I hate talking about it. Dylan, I'm sure you hate it too.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really make us any different or anything
it's
like
not
that.
It's not really a measurement of anything because, like, I literally, there's kids that are literally like fucking, you know, flat footed fucking a turkey in the rain and they got like 10 million followers. It doesn't
and that's why anything. That's why they have them, because they're important. They're the ones that people need to see.
They are important. I actually envision a society in about 50, 60 years where the number of followers, we're going to go back to puritanical Massachusetts. Guarantee you. I'm talking John Williams shit. Like, we're gonna end up to the point where it's like, if you have like a million followers or something, you've been like chosen by God. There's going to be a group of people that believe that you got that fame because God chose you. Because at the end of the day, there's so many people with it where it doesn't even make any sense at all. That eventually people will stop remembering that there's such thing as an algorithm, and people just like seeing tits and butt and people dancing and stuff. People will just like, you know, mindlessly scroll. People are going to forget that, and they're going to start making religious.
What I hate is kind of like on this term, like, where they kind of put you on a pedestal. Shit. Like, people think that I like make money from this shit and stuff. It's like, no, I've been demonetized by TikTok. I mean, I don't make any money on anything that I put out at all. Like, I make no money. Like, the only money that I make. Donations and shit like that to like PayPal and Cash App and shit like that. That's it.
I feel like you get like kicked off TikTok about the same time every week.
I get ticked. I've been banned 4 times.
Oh my god!
250k and get banned regularly is actually kind of cool. That's kind of
that's fucking punk rock.
They removed like 100,000 followers from my account. They removed my profile picture, everything, locked me down from sending. I can't even get
your profile picture.
It was me on a toilet taking a shit.
And they removed it?
Yeah. Yeah, they took it down. I still have the picture. I mean, I just kind of upload it every now and then. And I'll leave it up for a few days, and then I'll take it back down. Just as a power move, just to show them that I still have that power.
I mean, he's a testament to what we all should strive for.
If my parents are listening, I'm sorry for this next question. I always have to say that now. The podcast has become cleaner and cleaner each week, with minor disturbances in the force of good, if you will. Go ahead.
I said, you picked the wrong person in.
No, I love it, dude. No, this is fantastic. I can't wait to figure out a title for this one. if you could be any mythical creature, what would you be?
Centaur.
And what other mythical creatures would you be trying to have sex with? Go.
Yep. Centaur, and hands down. And that would be humans or horses. I don't give a shit.
No. Humans aren't mythical creatures, although that's hilarious. Neither are horses.
I like it.
Some of them are.
So what other mythical creatures would you be trying to date?
Just other centaurs. I mean, I assume it would probably be a species. I guess that's a word.
There's some kind of dating app.
Yeah. I definitely wouldn't be
a centaur.
Yeah, or don't stay racist. Don't throw that word out there, because I mean,
specious.
They're not
specious.
Yeah, specious. Yeah, that's
specious.
It.
Specious.
Yeah. It sounds like, I love saying that word because it feels like I'm spitting at the same time as like admonishing a whole race.
Yeah, it sounds like you're trying to say someone's name when you're
specious. His name's Kevin.
Okay, come on. You're just an asshole. His name's it's Ralph.
Yeah,
come on.
I don't even speak Ralph German.
Well, I mean, you know, if he gets it still, I'm sorry. Shut up. Hey, you know, if I feel like I missed this, if my Uncle Kevin's listening, hey, fuck you, Kevin. You're a piece of garbage. Just non sequiturs here.
You.
Thank you. See? Even Matthew would come. Yeah, fuck you, buddy. All right, back to it.
Hey, Kevin. Fuck you, Kevin.
Jesus. Just because you're a deacon.
That's the name of the title right
there. Hey, Kevin, what's up with the shit? Hey, Kevin, can you stop doing the shit?
I just want to make this like a recurring theme. Like, just, hey, fuck you, Kevin. Just take it aside for a second and be like, you know what? You know, this is the real people talking to the real world.
Now,
are we supposed to say fuck you?
It's okay. We all have that one person that we don't mind saying live. That we don't like. Like I still hate this kid from middle school. I don't bring grudges with me for the rest of my life. This dude has definitely changed. There's no way. You don't stay a bully your whole life. Usually it's the kids who aren't bullies in middle school that turn out to be bullies later on. You know, they're called cops. The bullies in middle school usually get rehabbed and they become better people. But damn it, Cliff, you were a dickhead back then.
Was it the fireworks guy?
What?
Was it the fireworks guy? The one that sold you pop, sold you sparklers instead?
No, no, I actually know nothing about him. I don't say his name. He wasn't that bad. He told me, Dylan, how pissed off would you be if you got all excited to buy fireworks from this dude? And he's like a little bit of a drug dealer. He was just dealing weed. It wasn't even that big of a deal. Maybe Adderall. I don't know. And he's just like, hey, come over to my house. I got things that go boom. And because you messaged him to see if he had fireworks this year. And it's like, all right, he's got shit that goes boom. That's great. And so you show up and he just sells you 100 sparklers for like 15 bucks.
I'd say I'm probably about to catch my third assault charge because fuck that.
Right? It pisses you off. It's like we're 14. We just had to walk here, you dick.
I'd probably stick him all up his fucking ass and turn him into a Roman candle.
This is an American candle.
Yeah. Happy birthday, bitch.
Our founding forefathers, thank you for your sacrifice, you fucking piece of shit.
I don't understand American days at all. I really don't. I don't know what to do with the Easter thing. Like, why thing. I don't fucking
understand. I'll tell you who understands this Hallmark.
I live in a town where literally our biggest holiday is called Mule Day, where we just get mules in the street and parade them through the fucking square and they shit everywhere. That's our holiday.
Fuck. We have Apple Day. We have Apple Day.
What culture is that steeped in? Swedish?
Actually, late grade. Actually, it's weird. I don't. It's just do some research about Mule Day and shit.
That crazy. Sounds like some midsummer shit, dude.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And afterwards, we take the oldest mules and throw them off a cliff.
Yeah.
Whoever the donkey doesn't bray at dies.
And then they like pull them, like they'll like hook them up really heavy shit and see how much like mules pull. And then they cheer, like, wow, this fucking thing can pull a single wide. That's crazy.
It is a god. All right, we will base our whole year on this one mule.
And the whole town just like four shit mule shit a week. And just shit everywhere.
Dude, this is fascinating to me. If I showed up to a town to like get gas, just to get gas. And they're just like, hey, you want to stay for a little bit? It's Mule Day. I'm like, what's that? And I look around and there's just like a dozen people in the town square walking mules around. I'd just lock myself. I'd kill myself then because I know I'm getting tortured.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be thrown into a house that's about to be burnt down for God. I'm not going out that way. I'd run the car over myself. I'm not letting it happen.
Yeah. And like, and not only that, but you're reminded of it every single day because everything is named after fucking mule something in this town. Mule Town Coffee, Mule Town Crack, Mule Town Records, everything is named after the mules. One day, y'all. And we played God one day for fucking donkey, and now we got to celebrate it every fucking day and name our fucking.
this is extensive. They sell like Apple Day here. We have the same thing, except thank God Apple Days don't take shits everywhere. We just have to deal with like bargaining with gypsies once a year.
This Apples is blowing my mind, dude. You Southern people are great. Actually, this makes a lot more sense than Santa Claus, if you think about it. And it makes way more sense than Easter. So I'd rather Mule Day than Easter. Easter must have been the cultiest, weirdest shit when it started.
Yeah, for sure. It's like I feel like every holiday is like Jesus mixed in with some kind of like fertility ceremony, and it just makes it really sexual and weird.
Sex magic. Listen, sex magic works.
What's the sexiest holiday?
Ooh. April Fool's Day. We're comedians.
I would say Mary would say Christmas.
The correct answer is any day that they have an anime convention in Los Angeles.
That's every day.
It's 4 days a year. That's the one.
That's the homeless people. How many days are there's an anime convention?
I was just having this conversation with somebody. Nerdy sex is the best sex. We got costumes.
Yeah. It didn't even really exist.
What didn't exist?
L.A., that Los Angeles did not exist. I really thought that at the time that it was just like I don't know.
I can understand exactly where you're coming from. I view L.A. as kind of like this far off, like made up land where only like half famous people live, and the real famous people don't live there, but they pretend that they do.
It's like all a bunch of like cartoons and shit, it's all holograms.
Yeah, it's the only place you can find real life like
like Mickey Mouse or Bugs Bunny.
This is so weird. This is actually a communal thing in America, or maybe even the world, I think. For the longest, because you hear about the place all the time, but it either seems too good to be true or too big to exist, or like, you know, too foreign of a concept that it's like its existence is a TV show that you used to watch.
Yeah.
And all LA was like that for me before I moved here, for sure.
It's like a premise.
Yeah. You've only seen pictures of it. It's not like you've actually been there. Finally, I think this last time that I just went back home to Massachusetts is the first time that I got to the point where it felt like where my family is in Massachusetts and where I live in Huntington, it's almost like it's a town over now. I finally got to that point 3 years in.
Your world's
now smaller. It's like, it's just a quick plane ride and then I'm there.
Are you from like the Boston area? Or?
I mean, compared to how big other states are, everywhere in Massachusetts is in the Boston area. I grew up 33 miles west of Boston, and now all my family is in Middlesex, which is like 10 miles northwest, maybe 8 miles northwest.
This is still Paul, like, suburbanly, like, bragging that he flies planes and that people will allow him on planes.
I'm sorry. I didn't know I was humble bragging that I'm not on the no-fly list.
You're on the no-fly list?
No, we are. Paul is immune.
Oh, yeah, then I'm not on the no-fly list.
Oh.
Yeah, he's churching it up over here, bragging.
I flew to Puerto Rico, and I got hammer drunk, and I got out, and I got in a taxi when I got to Puerto Rico. The first thing the taxi asked me is not where am I going or where do I need to drop off is wanting cocaine. I was like, yes. God damn it. I didn't fucking fly here for nothing.
Of course. Like, didn't you that's see me wake up? Of course I need to pick me up.
Yeah.
Shit, where were those people when I flew to the Dominican? I just had people playing music for me off of the airport.
Yeah, I love it down there, man.
I want to go to Tijuana just so I feel like I can meet Bobby Lee.
Bobby Lee lives in Tijuana?
I think Bobby Lee lives everywhere that's a third world nation of its own volition, pretty much.
I'm pretty sure Bobby Lee lives in Hollywood.
I changed my mythical creature answer. It would be Bobby Lee.
Hell yeah.
And you would only have sex with other Bobby Lees or carpets.
Right. Or just people that look like Bobby Lee, which is there's a few of those.
A couple. Like, just a handful.
You know, yeah.
Remember when Kim Jong-un supposedly faked his death, like, from, like, that heart surgery or whatever? I was like, there's no fucking way he did that. All he has to do is walk out the doors of his palace, and he blends in with everyone.
Yeah.
Like, is that racist, or is it just a fact?
No, it's because they're regulated haircuts. I mean, they regulate. They have to have a, like, there's, like, 17 haircuts you can choose from. So, I mean, that's valid.
17, that's a good solid number to choose from. You can't pick your haircut. I don't even know. 17, you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I feel like you choose a different haircut every day. How does it feel to like make beauty sleep feel stupid? Like the term beauty sleep, because when we wake up, it's not beautiful.
I hate waking up. I'm pissed off. I'm like, how many fucking days do we have left?
Right? All right, come on. This is getting a little bit extensive here. Come on.
Yeah. I hate having to do the first thing that you have to do that day. Like, you have a list. Doing the first thing is always the worst. And if I don't get the first one done.
And something that helps with that, I keep hearing about it, and I do it, and I do feel better on the days that I do it. Just, like, starting your day off making your bed.
Yeah, Jordan Peterson. Fucking years.
It really does.
Make your bed. I promise. Listen, I know it sounds stupid, but if you can take anything away from this dumbass podcast, it would be if you can like control your environment around you to a small extent, you keep practicing that until you can do it to a further. And if you start making your bed every day, that's one way to get your foot in the door to starting to control your day.
What if I just start making other people's beds? I feel
that's
like that.
That's even funnier. That's the comedian. Right.
Right after they wake up, they go to brush their teeth, you make bed and you dip out really quick before they get back. Hear them the fuck out. I feel like that'd be more gratifying.
Make sure that you get caught. Make sure that you get caught and then convince them that they paid you to do it.
Yeah. Like, I'm here to make your bed. You know, you have a subscription with Uber Beds. You don't remember that?
Uber Pets.
Yeah.
It's, fuck, what is, oh, what is that one?
Instacribs.
Instacribs.
That's a good
this
one.
Is Exhibit. What happened to Exhibit?
Dude, whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to MTV, man?
Oh, man. MTV went the same way as like Comedy Central. They used to have music just the same way as Comedy Central used to have comedy. It's just it's gone.
Yeah, the I think the big thing with that was that Jersey Shore happened. If Jersey Shore didn't never happen, then I think a lot of stuff would still be good. Jersey Shore was too funny. It's just watching aliens in their natural habitat. If that didn't happen, I think would be a lot of places would be better. If I could go back, if I could use a time machine that could only go back in time, I'd stop Jersey Shore from happening.
Yeah, I don't know.
Snooki.
Gives us a lot of things to aspire not to be, though. That's what I like. When something's like cringy and off, like I'm thankful for it because then I know that that is, I mean, things can always be worse.
Yeah. I mean, you can always be like not self aware.
Yeah. Or like, exactly. Or you can live in an echo chamber of Golden Girls over and over and over again. I mean, that would be a beautiful life, but not really attainable.
Speaking of being self-aware and sort of like things to aspire not to be, there's a chart for Dungeons and Dragons, Dylan. Well, I think it started there. And it's a chart to define your character into a sort of subset of rules, you know, when you're creating a character for the game.
Like chaotic neutral and stuff like that.
Yep.
Lawful good, neutral good, chaotic good, and then neutral, and then evil. Okay. Which one of those are you?
Chaotic,
which
neutral.
One is your sworn
chaotic,
enemy?
Chaotic, neutral, and lawful good is probably lawful evil is probably my sworn enemy because I mean I don't think there is a lawful good really.
Nope. If you align yourself with something that is 100%,
you think that you're lawful, automatically makes you lawful evil. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like Hitler wasn't like, you know, I'm doing the devil's work. No, he thought he was there to do that shit. He thought he was, you know, justified. No one thinks that they're lawful.
You know, you're exactly right. That comes to like, I don't believe that there's any such thing as evil. I think there's just different levels of ignorance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
really,
I think there's evil.
I've definitely done things out of evil before.
Evil, look, I don't think there can be.
Have you done things out of evil or immaturity?
I think there can't be good without evil. There's that. But I think that there's a lot of people that think they're lawful good that end up evil. And that's almost every villain ever. So I don't think there's anybody who's lawfully good that stays there. I agree with you guys on that. But that doesn't mean that I don't think that there's good and evil.
Yeah. Well,
there's definitely
lawful
good people who want to help everybody and actually like believe everybody has a chance. Those people.
Yeah,
and then there's the people who want to sacrifice people and shit to get, you know, a state of utopia or whatever, which has already been proven in every single situation that it'll never exist. So those people usually end up being those fake lawful good, which ends up being like lawful evil bastards.
Well, I think that to be law, I mean, lawful implies that there's like a rules or like, I think that if you judge everybody by the same rules, white, then you're not a good person because your literal testaments define a person. It's not really, you kind of take away their humanity when you.
Yeah, you're taking away their humanity by having to define them through the scopes of what you see as normal.
Right, exactly.
And there's different normals all over the world.
Exactly.
Think,
good is not always good.
There's situations where it's like, and we don't have to get into this on a comedy podcast, I guess, but like, you know, screw it. I mean, when you're talking about the existence of any good or evil, I know there's a bunch of philosophies. Not to mention philosophers still debating on even its exact existence, just like this. But there are, I think, universal situations where we feel a pull to sort of stand up for somebody else. And I know, Dylan, you were saying, like, you know, I don't really give a shit about anybody. And I think that's actually not the worst way to live your life.
Right.
Really don't.
I don't wish
but
evil
if
upon
somebody,
pain.
As an example, like an innocent, if you're seeing like a kid get hurt by a stranger, it's like the kid didn't do shit that could possibly warrant this unless they murdered somebody. You know, and it's not their parent. You know, they're not just getting an ass whooping because they deserve it. That exists. I'm talking like if you saw an innocent kid in trouble or something, you might try and help the kid.
I don't
you
know.
Yeah, you would to help the kid, you know. And I think that
you would intervene.
Yeah, I would definitely intervene because I mean, I really don't see that as going out of my way. I see as beating a stranger's ass, as abusing a kid, is just something to do, you know.
Exactly.
And God, I was for it.
That's just an activity you got to do as a human being. So in terms of the existence of good, I think it's shit like that. And it's not necessarily like what the Bible says or like a set of rules that you got to follow. It's that inherent. Oh, I guess I do give
morally
a
relativistic
of a shit about everybody's well-being in that little bit. Not in everyday life. Not like, hey, if you're
robbed not considering how that's going to make your
you know
day
what?
Better.
Go. I actually don't like banks. Fuck them. You probably will do more with that money than the bank will. Fuck them. But you know, it's like. You know, that stuff with lawful good cops trying to stop bank robberies, whatever.
I think that's a lot of like, you know, relationship like with your surroundings, like definitely. Because if, you know, shit, what am I saying here? I don't think that it's just good because you make bad things not happen. I think that's morally relativistic. I don't know. Like, I know that we don't have like this compass in us that points us to good and to evil, but it's more
also,
like
in the way of karma. Really, I mean, sometimes bad things happen to people, to good people, because they deserve it.
Yeah, I don't believe in karma either. That's one of the biggest like examples that I have. Is like most good people that you see, or most people in high standings, have not been the best people, and they got there from like stepping on people's throats.
My thing, and I get that too. I think the most important thing, take the powerful people out, take the not powerful people out. I think what it comes down to is that like we don't know the full story ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't.
Yeah,
know
like powerful people
as,
aren't always
like, a person. If somebody deserves this or if they deserve that. You know, that's not up to us to decide. As an example, like, believe in karma, don't believe in karma. Doesn't matter. If karma exists, then karma will take care of shit the way that it needs to. But we need to do shit as if none of that existed, you know? As an example,
yeah,
like
we shouldn't act as if karma is the driving force in our... Yeah, we shouldn't act as if karma is the driving force in our lives that make us do good for good's sake.
Yeah, I don't live by any dogma at all. I just acknowledge that it possibly exists.
Ooh, yeah. You know, I mean, karma will take care of what karma takes care of if it exists. God will take care of what God will take care of if they exist. In the meantime, we got to do shit. There's always been a saying that I've always believed in. And it's like, don't turn your back on the world. You're literally all it has.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I like that.
I do too. Damn, that makes me feel self-important and useful.
Yeah, and it's not just us, you know?
Yeah.
And that goes along with the concept, and not to force anybody to take psychotics. I'm not trying to do that to anybody here. Or anti-psychotics. But like, you know, I think something that agrees with every religion and disagrees with it, which is pretty cool, is we are the universe experiencing itself, and we are the
Bill
first
Hicks.
Things ever to do so that we know about. There might be aliens and shit, but the idea of understanding that we're alive, which almost every other creature in the known universe cannot do, they can't have any conception of death. It's usually object impermanence. Nobody consciously understands.
Ooh,
itself.
Damn, Paul.
You know, so if we're made up of the exact same material as the rest of the universe, then we are literally the only things in the universe experiencing itself.
I had this conversation last night.
I would trade my sentience to never have that conversation.
That's a good point, actually.
I've felt that before.
It would be easier. Make me a fox. Yeah. I think they're cool.
Yeah, foxes are dope.
What does the fox say? What does the Matthew McConaughey fox say?
I live like way out in the middle of nowhere, and I've only seen a fox maybe four or five times in my life. I just think that's a problem.
Right? They are an elusive little creature.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what do they do all day?
What does the fox say? You know, it's not up for us. That's God's work.
What does the fox eat? What do they fucking do? Like, I don't even – I know what the fox says. They make, like, little eeking sounds. Shit, it's weird.
Yeah, they're adorable, actually. Fox sounds are the cutest shit in the world.
Yeah, at least I have no purpose. Like, they're not intimidating at all. Man, like, a fox is like the perfect mix between a cat and a dog. Weird.
Oh, shit. Paul, foxes say, Safu? Safu?
That's... are you... That's Latin Americans.
Safu?
Safu?
Oh, fuck. It's your friend that we had on here, David, I think.
Safu?
Safu? That's a fox. He's a fox.
I don't... This is a joke only you get right now, dude.
Oh, no, I don't care. I'm slapping my dick off right now.
Okay, we're over... We're over time. We're over time.
All you beautiful people out there listening, thanks from both of us. Even though Paul's not here, we're now on 7 different platforms thanks to Anchor. Well, I put us on those platforms. Paul just kind of shows up and poof, off in the puff of smoke. Sometimes it's colorful, sometimes it's not, but it's always infuriating and amazing at the same time. But I'm technologically illiterate. Anchor does this for me. All you have to do is record here, you can edit here, and distribute here. All for free. So, if you want to put out a podcast, this is the way to do it. Like I said, if I can do it, you got this. So, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. That's anchor.fm. And this is Keith, and I'm Outro 5000.
Dylan. You have been an incredible guest. I want to give you an opportunity. We bombarded you with some insane questions, and we went down a rabbit hole at the end there, or a foxhole, whatever you want to call it. What is the question that you want to ask me and Keith about ourselves? And then we'll let you go.
Do you guys do this regularly? Like, just bring on random people and shit and enjoy it? You enjoy this shit?
Yep.
Really?
All month.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I enjoy it. We do it Wednesday and Friday, usually around the same time, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. East Coast. Did you enjoy being on?
Oh, yeah. It was great. I've only done one other podcast, and it was about sobriety, so it was a little arduous. Yeah, it wasn't really boring. It was like a little bit arduous, like having to do the fucking mental gymnastics of answering shit about why you shouldn't do drugs, which, I mean, really, don't fucking do.
Yeah. Who's the other good reason why you shouldn't do drugs? Oh, they make you feel good. That's why you shouldn't.
Yeah. You deserve to feel like a piece of shit. Don't do drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds lit or unlit.
Yeah.
That sounds not on fire. but we do it as much as, like, my scheduling inconsistencies will allow.
And you know what? Keith talks down about himself a lot when it comes to this podcast. Dude, he is the entire back end.
He took on the entire
responsibility of like how to post it. He figured out anchor.fm. He figured out like how to get the descriptions and shit out there. Like he figured out the whole back end about distribution. He's the reason we're on iHeartRadio. He's the reason we're on Spotify, iTunes, Google Cast, which I didn't even know they were in the podcast game.
I hate that fucking shit. Love your motherfucking self.
Well, I don't. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. I do. And thank you, Matthew Head McConaughey. That was beautifully said. But, I can't give myself, like, props. I'm still dealing with that shit. Like, I don't know how to.
Oh, I so feel you. Guys. Mentioned shit. I don't know whatever to say. Like, thank you for thinking. I don't know. Like, it's weird. It's just a weird concept to think that you're doing okay or think that you did anything good in the world. That's a weird thing to accept.
If you, if somebody ever gives you a compliment, this is what you say. This is the only great way to do it, I think. Hey, thanks, man. That means a lot. It does two things. Yes. You thank them for the compliment, which they were hoping for. They hope they didn't annoy you. And when you say it means a lot, even if it doesn't really, it means a lot to them that you said it. So, bam, conversation over. It doesn't invite any more conversation.
I've been doing it. Then I go back. I just send everybody the same message, and I get like thousands of messages a day. So I just stopped responding to them, and now I feel like even worse of a fucking person because I didn't say anything at all. So now I'm just like going down this spiral of like not liking compliments or anything.
Personal responsibility.
People are like, your videos mean so much to me, and they look forward to them every day. And I'm just like, don't fucking tell me that. Don't fucking tell me that. Just keep that to yourself.
They're complimenting themselves for themselves. And they're complimenting you for themselves, is what I think.
Right.
So them typing it out, they don't expect to get an answer ever. Maybe even just the idea that you might answer is enough for them. Yeah. It gives them a little bit of a hope for that sort of special human contact with somebody that they look up to.
It also takes like, fun.
If you respond to one person publicly, that's sort of like responding to all of them when it comes to social media specifically.
I don't have the same intent. Like, everybody just wants to know that you're real and that you can talk back and that they have a chance to reach out and be able to like communicate with you. So whenever you do, I mean, that sets a precedent for everybody. I mean, there's some people out there that are delusional and think that, okay, well, you know, he's going to take time out to talk to me. Those are the unhealthy people, I think. But I mean, most of the people that follow me, all like 11, like they've got a pretty healthy understanding of like, you know, I try to reach out and talk back every time I can until I can't. Right. And when I can't, then they'll understand, I feel like. But
I guess because I do the comedy shit for fun and to do it as a release, it kind of makes it too serious for me when people compliment me on it. Like if there's a certain expectation, and I just want to live in a la la land where no one's watching.
You're cutting up a little bit there.
I said, I don't really like the expectation that.
All right, we're speaking to Braille right now. I'll go ahead and end the episode with this. Matthew McConaughey has been great. Paul has been a consummate fucking professional, as always. And myself, I've been a hot mess that you guys have come to rely on. And I hope to be here next time. And
you stop this. Keep it up. I didn't know I was muted that whole time. Damn it. Stop talking down about yourself, Keith. And I know that Dylan agrees with you. Not Dylan is what I'm going to call you from now, Keith. From now on. Look, RuPaul even says it, even though it might not be the person you want to hear it from, because clearly RuPaul doesn't like themselves so much that they have the most plastic personality that's ever existed. Shout out, RuPaul. Ooh. I don't care how powerful you get. I'm going to shit talk you about that. You're the fakest person. You. Great show. But if you can't love yourself, how can you love anybody else? It's all what you're if right. You don't love yourself, then you're not loving anybody else. That's how it works. You have to love yourself at least a little bit to love other people a little bit. And all that's everybody all else even wants is for you to love yourself.
Oh, do you think that's the truth? Because I know a lot of people that want nothing more than for me to fail.
Nope, doesn't matter. At its core, love is universal as much as you want it to be. So if you're not loving yourself, you're already limiting yourself in a way that shouldn't be in the first place.
I'm only putting bad out instead of taking good in.
And if you're not taking good in, then you're not really putting that much good out because there's not much left inside to be able to do it. You have responsibility to the world to love yourself. I am adamant about that. Done with the morals.
I love it. I love it when we get these. You know, Matthew, you've been a definite channel into letting us get into this and talking about these things, and we appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Sorry I lost you for a minute. My drummer showed up. I got practice. And
it's okay. You're in the woods.
Yeah.
You're good, Dylan. You were a phenomenal guest. We'd actually like to have you back on soon if you had a good time.
For sure, man. I'd love that.
Sounds awesome. Hey, good luck in every future endeavor that you have. And fuck all the haters.
You too, man. And fuck heaven.
Fuck heaven, right? You know, let's make sure that the life we live, we're living in heaven down here.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin. Stop!
Hey. Fuck you, Kevin. We hate you. Love you guys.
All right, much love, Dylan. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man.
All right, Keith. Awesome podcast yet again. Would you like me to end it with the ceremonious last question?
Let's roll into it, son. Let's get it hard. Let's go.
Let's roll into it, son. Okay. What is your favorite smell? Go.
Sandalwood, Abercrombie and Fitch.
That's actually a great answer. Oh, my God. It smells so good.
It does. I don't know what it is about it, but by God, I know people that are stupid as fuck, but they look like Abercrombie mannequin got sentience and walked out, and they still smell like it. I'm like, you might not have a brain, but fuck, I'm about you.
There's something in Abercrombie sandalwood that just makes you want a gobnobble on the nutsack.
I'm telling you, yeah, I'm suspect to that. I mean, I'm... What is that word? Oh, I forgot it. I've been smelling sandalwood for the past 11 seconds, and I can't think of words.
That's a tumor, actually.
Oh, stroke. Damn it.
No, not again. All right. Good.
Sandalwood, right. Baby.
Good podcast. Hope you guys all smell like sandalwood. This has been Cross Examination, Episode 7, featuring Matthew McConaughey, Keith Burr, and myself. Have a great day.
Whoop. See ya. Later. Bye-bye.